and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Yep. Bringing you another episode. Recording on the later side tonight. It seems to work better for us. And first of all, Big Roop, how you doing?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Doing okay. Doing all right. May have had a touch of a sunburn on the neck, something that I don't normally get or deal with, but dealing with it right now.
I'm sorry to hear that. Got to start to use that sunscreen, my brother.
Yeah, it seems so. It seems getting older just changes everything inside and out. So that's just another change. But otherwise, doing okay.
That's a fact of life. Everything seems to affect you a lot more the older you get.
No, sure. You notice it, which is kind of the point. But it is what it is. Like you said, it's a fact of life. It happens. And the more you notice it, the more you know you're getting older.
Yep, well, thanks be to the Lord that we are still here yet another day to do another episode. So that's always a blessing.
Amen, amen. Well said. That is true. And with that, we'll just segue right into the episode. So today's episode is Mind Over Matter. And I was just thinking how it seems that a lot of our episodes tend to bleed into a future episode where it's almost as if it was a part one and a part two. That's happened with a couple of different topics, and I kind of see the similarities in this topic. So today's episode, Mind Over Matter, the subject is going to be Simone Biles. She's been in the news lately for various reasons. And she was, well, you know, Big Rube, why don't you do the introductions for us, Simone Biles? Why is there so much attention on her? What was expected of her at the Olympics this year?
Well, she's an Olympic gymnast that already had some Olympic gold from last Olympics. So she's accomplished already. She's actually coming in as arguably the greatest gymnast of all time, you know, based on the type of moves she can do and everything else in her world championships, that she was expected to maybe make a clean sweep in this Olympics. And she's in the news not for actually winning all the medals, but she had to bow out because she said mentally she wasn't ready to perform.
Right. So that basically kind of summarizes the recent news regarding Simone Biles. And we'll follow up a little later as far as the end of her Olympic performance and possibly the end of her Olympic performances, because I don't think she's planning on competing in future Olympics. So, like you said, she did tie the record for most medals. And again, had she competed and performed in all the events and performed as expected, she most likely would have gotten the record cleanly by herself. Again, cementing what you just said, that she would have been the greatest female gymnast of all time. And the reason why I said episode is kind of a bookend to another episode is we did one a few weeks back called Rewriting the Rules, where we talked about Naomi Osaka. And in part, it wasn't about her, but she was part of the conversation. And we basically talked about how there seems to be rules, rewritten rules, changes to norms, and for various reasons. So bringing it back to Simone Biles, right, because if she broke her leg, no one would be questioning should she or could she perform in the Olympics. But because she had a different issue condition, there's a big question mark to that. So again, today's episode is Mind Over Matter. What do you think about that? Mind Over Matter, meaning is it something sometimes that's in our head that we think is going on or people think is going on, or is it something real that's just not fully diagnosed? So in Simone Biles' case, what do you think happened?
Well, I think, one, from what I understand, she does have ADHD and she does take medication for ADHD. And from what I read online, I did read in several different sources, her medication is actually illegal in Japan, and she would not be allowed to have that in Japan. So I don't know how much that would affect her performing, but it could have a good indication of her performance, because that helps you to focus. And if, you know, obviously gymnastics takes a lot of concentration to perform all of those maneuvers and not make any mistakes. And if you're not on your game, you know, it could lead to some very bad results. You know, you could fall off and you could paralyze yourself and do a lot of harm to yourself. So that's one thing that really wasn't brought about in the regular press. You hear not too much about it. You know, she just said that she couldn't focus, and, you know, that might be one of the reasons why she couldn't focus.
Right. Well, I would start there. I would say that if you take medication to focus and you can't take that medication, then your focus would be impacted, right? Because that's literally what that medication is for. So I think that we did have conversations offline, and I did mention that I think this is much bigger than her. And I think that there's some rules that probably should have been specified further out. Perhaps they were behind the scenes. Assuming that there were changes to the nature of, again, rules impacting different athletes, that should have been stressed from a committee level as opposed to an individual level, right? Like, for example, let's just say she needed an asthma pump and they would let her use an asthma, you know, her asthma medication. That's not a Simone Biles issue, though. That's a ruling issue, right? Japan is saying that we consider this a performance-enhancing drug. You can't use it, so you can't bring it. I need this to live or to treat myself and so on and so forth. So, again, that's why I felt that it wasn't a Simone Biles issue. If there's a rule that impacts her and potentially multitudes of other athletes, it's not totally fair that she didn't want to have to explain herself because she's the most famous athlete at these Olympics.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists are on another planet, and me, I'm the last MC still standing.
No, I agree totally with that, and I think that it should have been addressed. Now, the thing I'll have to say is that I also don't know if this issue has come up at any other event, and if it's something that's widely known, because, like, you're right. If it is something where this is a known disease, this is not something that someone is saying, well, I don't feel right. This is actually something that's been diagnosed by professionals and needs to have medication to be treated. So it's not like someone that says, oh, I don't feel good today. So if this has really been the case, you said it should have been addressed by the United States Olympic Committee and coaches and people who are handling her. It shouldn't be her issue, because she might not be the only one that is dealing with this particular issue.
Exactly. And then, like you said, because she, in a lot of ways, was the face of the Olympics and expected to make history and expected to basically leave her mark forever, right? And now she's basically known for not performing, right? So it did kind of put the spotlight on her in a way that maybe wasn't fully fair, which also might have played into part of the condition, right? I already had trouble focusing. I need medication for it. I'm legally not allowed to use this medication, and now I'm getting all this attention because I can't necessarily use the medication, which maybe I don't want to talk about. Maybe I don't want to talk about my situation condition. So that's why I felt that the Olympic Committee should have been more supportive of her. That being said, though, there was something you said that I think we definitely want to dive into. And it was basically, if it's been documented previously, as opposed to just how she feels. And again, let's say somebody twists their ankle, right? But they didn't get an x-ray or anything of that nature, but they're walking on it and it feels very gimpy. Would you personally, and would we the society look at it the same way? That it's an undiagnosed issue, but I don't feel like I can perform because of this physical pain that I have, even though I didn't go to the doctor, you have to have the doctor confirm it. In other words, I don't feel healthy. I don't feel well physically. Is that okay to not perform under those conditions?
Well, going by our current standards, and I've been, you know, I played high school sports, so I'm not going to compare myself to any of these great world-class athletes, but you would, in that situation, normally then have it checked out by a doctor to see if you can go, what needs to be done, what treatment you might need to get you ready to perform. you wouldn't just take it upon yourself to say, I don't feel right, I'm not going to go on the court or on the field.
Even if you don't feel well, even if you feel sick.
Well, if you don't feel well, you don't, you know, you would articulate to what's not feeling well. And obviously, most coaches would then have you see a medical personnel to see if we can get medication or something that's going to help correct you to get you back onto the field. We most times wouldn't just say, don't play. Now, if they, it's not treatable, like say you have a migraine and no matter what they give you, nothing is working, all right, you can't perform. But you normally would get checked out by someone that's more knowledgeable than you or an expert.
True. And I think you did make some points about the standard today as opposed to the standard in the past, because I think there's this expectation that you should want to perform and you should be ready to perform. And I think that that's not necessarily factoring in whether that's the case or not. I think the assumption is that, of course, you want to perform, right? Let's get you out there. And we've seen examples in other sports. We've seen football players play through concussions, which now the NFL is very big on concussion protocols and whatever. Before, that was normal, right? That was part of the game. You're dizzy, get some smelling sauce and whatever, whatever. And then we could say it wasn't a big deal, but then when we started realizing all these brain injuries were occurring and players were killing themselves and shooting people, then we're like, oh, my God, why is this happening, right? So the culture shifted, but really as a result of bad things happening, not because people were paying attention or observing the athletes.
No, that's true. I think in team sports, people don't want to let their team down. So, yeah, I'm not 100%, but I'm going to give it my all because my 80% is better than the substitute's 50%. So I'm going to try and play. I've been working all seasons for this moment. I don't want to let it go. And that's the mentality a lot of us came up with. You know, I think maybe today's more modern athletes looking at their long-term longevity in the field that they're in, and they're like, I'm not going to risk myself. I don't feel right, and I'm going to wait till I feel 100% before I'm going to go out and perform.
True. And I think there's definitely a generational issue to it. But I also think that to keep this episode tightly focused on mind over matter, I think some of it comes down to mental health, right? Again, I think if Simone Biles had an ankle sprain, she wouldn't have gotten the same attention or it wouldn't have been viewed the same way. I think because Simone Biles, for lack of a better way of expressing it, had a brain sprain, right? Where I can't focus, I have the twisties, I'm flipping and whatever. Which, like you said, she could have went out, performed, fell on her head, and then we're having a whole different conversation. So she took it on herself knowing where she was, right? And expressed herself, but because most of us couldn't see her pain or see her condition, a lot of us, and when I say us, I mean society, we have different feelings about it. Some people feel that it wasn't anything medical or she should have pushed through it anyway or any of these things. And again, I guess the first point would be if it was a sprained ankle, would the majority of criticism been the same? I know that some people criticize you no matter what. Some people think that even if you're in a full body cast, you're supposed to Willis read it and get on the court and play. So we're not talking about those people. But I'm just saying, if she had a noticeable condition, do you think she would have gotten most of the same feedback?
No, I think it would have been different. Because I have to admit, initially, I thought she had injured herself on the landing and that caused her not to be able to perform. I was like, oh, that's so that's messed up. I'm so sorry it happened to her. She won't be able to compete for all her different medals. But I was ready to, oh, she can't perform because she got hurt. As opposed to, it just seems different. And maybe it's wrong that it feels different if you're telling me, well, oh, I'm not mentally prepared to perform. As opposed to, yeah, I came down wrong and I hurt, I twisted my ankle. Because I really thought that's what she had done. And I was 100%. Oh, she can't perform. That's really messed up.
No, understood. And that's very, very, very clear of you to explain, because I think there is a distinction between the pain we can see and the pain we can't. And that's almost, it's funny, we're talking about generational as well as mental, right? Because there's a generational view on mental health, and then there's just a view on mental health, period. Like, there's some people that it's not real, it's in your head, you know, get past it, right? That's been today, that's been 30 years ago, that just goes way back. And there's some people nowadays that understand that there's things that we didn't understand before that we're more aware of now. Again, going back to the NFL with the concussion protocol and CTE, and realizing that just because somebody looks good on the outside doesn't mean they're okay on the inside.
Tired of the same rap songs, every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Nope, that's well said, and it's true. I think that the more modern athletes, you know, the latest generation, they are putting themselves first. As far as, I don't feel right mentally and I don't want to perform, the only thing I would not say criticize them, but I would say then you should seek out professional help to help you not say get to this situation, but in general, if you mentally are not right, talk to a professional that can help you. Maybe you need to take time off or whatever needs to be done, but you probably can't figure out what needs to be done on your own.
Well said, well said. I think that's really good insightfulness. I think as we as a society accept mental health as more of being more prevalent than was previously thought, a lot more people do have different mental health issues. Because again, mental health issue can range from low-level anxiety to some serious psychological trauma to even other diagnoses. So we understand that, not to be blunt, there are people that are crazy, right? I know that's not a politically correct term, but there are, right? I've dealt with some in my life, so you have to. And then there are people that are just in a situation where they're having like a panic attack, they're not able to cope with that moment. And part of the point you just made is that you need to deal with a professional to help you cope with it, right? Because you don't want it to get worse or to lead to, you know, an irreversible condition. So I agree with that. It mental health is real. It's talked about a lot more. It's something that there is support for and awareness of, but you have to go seek it out. So I think from your point of view, it's kind of like, okay, something's going on, check it out. Same way, if your leg is broken, right, you want to get it fixed. If something is not working right inside you, you want to get it addressed.
No, exactly. You know, that's one of the things I was thinking about when we were talking about Naomi Osaka is that, all right, you said mentally you're not there, you're not able to perform, and you don't want to go out, you don't want to speak to the media. That's fine. I totally understand you're overwhelmed. But then your team should have you sit down with a professional and let you, you know, work on whatever is troubling you. You don't have to perform. I'm not telling you you have to be in the next tournament or the next two tournaments. You take whatever time you need, but you get the counseling from the professionals to assist you. You can't just sit there and say, I'm going to figure it out myself.
Well, I agree with that. I think going back to Naomi Osaka, the problem was she also wasn't given that time either. I think regardless of what the team said, the event manager said, no, you need to perform and we're going to give you a day to figure it out and whatever. So again, they kind of doubled down on, you better hurry up and shake this off and perform, as opposed to, like you said, damn, maybe she's not able to compete in this tournament. You know, she's going to need to do what she has to do to heal herself or to prepare herself going forward. They're like, no, you need to hurry up and get ready or we're going to punish you. And I think that's when she said, well, I'm out, right? So I think that was a case where, okay, if she had a broken leg, they probably would have been more understanding, supportive of her. But because it was something internal, not visible, they didn't give her the time to seek out the treatment she might have needed or not. They basically gave her an ultimatum and then she made her own choice.
No, it's true. And again, let's just keep in mind, and we don't want to get off topic, but her thing was, I don't want to talk to the media. It wasn't even about performance of going onto the court and having a good tournament. I just don't want to talk to the media. And they were saying, if you don't talk to the media, you know, you're not going to play or whatever.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if she had a broken leg, I don't feel like doing an interview today, right? People probably would have been more understanding of it. So because you're saying on the inside, I don't feel right talking to the people, right? That's why we're going back to Simone Biles and her, right? Because these weren't athletes who weren't able to perform or to deal with the media for physical reasons. These were more emotional, psychological reasons. And I think that there is a segment of society that doesn't believe that, or just more important, thinks that that just shouldn't be the case. You know, if your head is not right, just clear it out and get back in the game. So I guess it's the awareness that mental health really does impact people in different ways. And how should we, as a society, deal with it? And more importantly, how should individuals deal with it?
Well, that's true. I mean, the hard part, I guess, is to look at it that this is this, when I say isolated situation, most of us are not going to be playing in front of millions of people or performing in front of millions of people, and our every move is going to be scrutinized. So it's hard for you to create, I guess, a regular person situation with these unique situations of these athletes and performers. I mean, if you're a teacher and all of a sudden you can't speak in front of your class, I basically think unless you go out and get help and counseling, you probably don't have a job anymore.
True, true. But I also think it's condensed, right? Because I think what you're saying is that if someone is not performing well or is going through a condition that they're not able to perform, that they should have the time and opportunity to heal. And I think for the purpose of this episode, we're talking about when they're not even given that time, right? When Simone Biles is supposed to shake off the twisties so she can go get these medals, right? You got to get these medals. You're going to be the most celebrated female gymnast ever. Naomi Osaka, you got to win as many tournaments as you can. So you got to shake this off. And I think that's part of the conversation we're having. One, how important is winning, right, to the individual, not to the sport? I mean, of course, the Tennis Association wants, you know, their top players to play. That's how they make their money. That's the purpose. But what does it mean to Naomi Osaka, right? Do I have to have as many Grand Slams or more Grand Slams than anybody? Does that matter to me? Do I even have a say at it? Or are you guys telling me that I should want this? And same thing with Simone Biles. Do I need to be the most celebrated Olympian of all time? Or maybe I just like performing?
No, I mean, obviously we can't tell them what they should focus on and what should be their main emphasis. But I mean, if you're going to go in competition, I would assume you're going to win. You're not going there just to, because I like the people. I like my comrades. So let me go and compete.
But for some people, that's how they perform at their best. Right. I think we can kind of pivot the conversation a little bit, but some people perform at their best when they're not pressured. And then some people live up to the moment. And I think what happened is, and I guess for our listeners, today's episode is Mind Over Matter. We've also added the part of the conversation that emphasized generationalism. Right. And Big Rupe and I come from an older generation of fan/athlete where you did live up to the moment. You did aim for greatness, right? You didn't want to be mediocre. It wasn't about just doing your best or just performing. It was about literally being better than whoever you played, right? We grew up at a time, literally, everybody didn't get a trophy, right? So when you got a trophy, you earned it. You felt a certain sense of accomplishment that other people didn't have it, right? Not that you looked down on them, but you did feel that you outperformed them. And that was the mindset that we have, right? You wanted to get a trophy because you wanted to be one of the winners, right? Not we're all winners. Then why am I playing hard? So I think that plays into the conversation now. That's why I said it was kind of twofold, right? If these athletes had broken legs, most of the conversation is not there. So their problem was that whatever conditions they had were not visible. So people kind of looked at it like, you're making this up or whatever the case may be. But that being said, there's people that will say, even if you broke your leg, right, you're supposed to, well, let's read it. You're supposed to tape it up and go out there and perform anyway.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Well, I think those people are zealots. Most people understand that if you have an injury and you hurt yourself, you can't perform. Anybody that's thinking that you're supposed to, you know, go and play and perform on a broken leg or a torn Achilles has some kind of problem. Number one, they've probably never been a real athlete and never really been injured, because anybody that's played knows how it is to have an injury and try to perform on that injury. Simone Biles, to me, could have actually given herself a way out if she didn't want to say that she was mentally not ready and said she hurt her leg or hurt her ankle. Nobody would have said, I think most people would have said, it's just too bad. And they would have let her go to the sideline. She could cheer her team on and no one would have said a word.
Agreed. But I think for her, it was very important to emphasize the mental health aspect of it because of what she was going through and because she verbalized she's not the only one. She verbalized that, yeah, it's not just about me. In other words, she knows she celebrated. She's walking over her rings, her gold medal. She's fine. But I think she's trying to address the conditions of the sport where people are basically suffering and being, in some cases, forced to perform, and that's not being addressed. So, again, I go back to her situation saying that I think it was bigger than her the whole way through. I think the fact that she didn't have her medications was bigger than her, and I think the point that she was addressing was also bigger than her, and I think at some point that may truly come out where it wasn't just about her.
No, and I believe what you're saying is totally accurate. Because I believe one of her teammates, I don't know if she was on this Olympic team or the one before, but I think her name is Michaela. I'm not sure what her last name is. And she said she was forced to perform with a broken ankle or a sprained ankle. And she said that she really was in a lot of pain. And basically the coach made her perform. Like, no, you're going out there. I really don't care what you have to say.
Right. Right. And to your point, that was part of the culture. And then we can just go further back. That's why I said, you know, I was taking away from the mental health aspect of it now and taking it to the generational aspect of performance where, one, you're supposed to want to win, right? It's not enough to show up, right? Two, you want to be the very best, right? We grew up probably in a generational mindset where that was the goal, right? Part of Michael Jordan's celebration was his ability to beat other people. Right? Not to perform nicely, but to win. To win, 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 win. Right? And not sure where it became as unhealthy as it is. Generationally, we've changed a lot, and I think we get that. But performance-wise, I think is where change has somewhat shifted.
No, I agree 100% because you think about a sport like boxing or obviously football. But a lot of things that we celebrated in the past, now we're like, oh, we have to save the people from themselves. We can't let them do it. We can have a guy going out with both eyes closed, cutting his eyes open so he can see to try to throw a punch. No, you're going to have to, you know, take this L and then come back the next time. You know, we don't want you to get permanently damaged and brain damaged and, you know, may possibly go blind. So a lot of things that we did in the pursuit of winning, we realized it was a bit extreme.
Exactly. No, you nailed it. And I think that when we look at it from a macro level now, again, taking away from the Naomi Osaka's and the Simone Biles of the world, and we look at as sport where now we're more aware of people's vulnerabilities, right? We're more concerned with people's vulnerabilities. I mean, the NFL is concerned. The NFL, I'm not going to say have, but a good percentage of the fan base is upset because it's not played the way it was before. But that's because they have this awareness of the human vulnerabilities now. So they're literally trying to play a collision sport that's very dangerous as safe as possible. And you still have people upset about that. Like, no, but we know what happened. So we're doing everything we can reasonably do to keep people safe.
I'm just smiling because we have a mutual friend that, oh, these guys are soft. They're not taking hits and they're not doing this. I'm like, what's wrong with you? These guys can't, you know, they're trying to keep them on the field. They don't want them to be 40 years old and don't know their children's name. You know, we're trying to make sure that we have a good quality of life and you're just upset because you don't see brutal hits.
Exactly. And that person, again, is a relic of a previous generation, right, of a previous age. Because the point is, right, we all felt a certain way before when we didn't know, right? We didn't suspect certain things. Now we know. Now we know what's happening. We know the outcomes of it. So you have some former athletes, football players, saying they wouldn't let their kids play the same sport because they know what's happening to their bodies. So I guess what I'm saying is some of the shift in attitudes is generational, where we're just more aware of the human frailty, right? And that pertains also to the mental part of where we can't even see all the injuries now. So not only are we know people are getting hurt, we don't even see how hurt they are sometimes, and we think they're fine. So we're really factoring that into people's performance.
No, what you said is totally true. It's well said. Even today I heard that somebody in the Jets practice, doing their practice, was carted off with a neck injury. And again, that's very rare. And, they stopped practice and everything else. But this is all scary business. Sports, athletics, these are not things to take lightly.
Exactly. And again, for our listeners, today's episode being Mind Over Matter, I think the point we really wanted to hone in on with today's episode was a lot of the illnesses and conditions that people deal with are invisible to the outside. They're mental. And we have to identify them and hope that the treatment for them is the same as if they were physical. So to your point, Big Blue, like you said, it's not just enough to not feel well. You have to do something about it. So the same way you got a tummy ache, you got to deal with that. If there is something going on with your perception or your overall mental feeling, you need to get that addressed.
Tired of the same rap songs. Uh-huh. Every new hit should sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Yeah, you need to talk to somebody, talk it out, try to get to the root of the problem and try to get it fixed, but not just internalize it and, oh, it's going to get better over time.
No, I totally agree with that. I totally agree. So I guess our society is moving forward. So today's episode, Mind Over Matters. I guess we'll go to our call to action unless there's anything else that we drum up. But I think we definitely drummed out a lot because I think we did kind of heighten the fact that there is the generational piece of it, which is different because there are people that they would play with their arm broke. You can say that it's crazy, but there are people that they would. I mean, that's how football is played, for example. Boxing, like you said, it could be half mutilated, but you're still going to fight until you couldn't fight anymore. And then there's the modern era of sports where basketball players have load management. Don't play the whole game. Don't play the whole season, right? You got to pace yourself. And, that's just where the game has shifted. Pace yourself. When you pace yourself, you're supposed to be a soldier.
No, it's true. And think about it. It's not even that long ago when you got someone like Kobe Bryant, his wife asked him, why are you playing? You don't feel good. That person that paid for that ticket might only see me this one time in their life. I can't disappoint them. I'm going to go out there and give them the show that they paid for. Whereas, like you said, the more lately, the newer athletes now are like, no, I load manage. I only can play 3 games a week. I'm not going to stress myself. If they paid their money, that's too bad.
Exactly. So there's definitely been a generational shift. And there's also a generational awareness now that not all injuries are physical. Some injuries can be mental. So going to our call to action, do you have anything for our listeners as far as Mind Over Matter, acknowledging, identifying, and dealing with mental health issues?
Well, my call to action would be to spectators to try to change your mindset. A lot of us, like you said, have the older mindset of win at all costs. If you're not in the cast, you're able to go out and perform, and there should be no reason why you're not performing. And we got to change that mentality. And it's up to us to identify when people are having issues, be it if they're an athlete or a classmate, a student or whatever, and tell them, listen, you need to talk to somebody. Maybe not talk to me because I'm not a professional as far as dealing with any type of those type of problems. But you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you can, help someone to not commit suicide or not harm themselves, because they really don't feel accepted or whatever's going on with them. They might need to talk it out with somebody and get a better perspective on life.
Wow. No, that was good. That was a lot. That's a lot to take in, but definitely a lot that needed to be said and was received. So thank you for that. I think I don't have too much to add to it. I think my call to action would be regarding mental health would be for our listeners to just learn more about it. I think it's something that a lot of people aren't totally familiar with, and it's hard to acknowledge or be aware or understand things if we just don't know about them. So I would say just to, become more learned and read about mental health issues. And like Beirut said, then you can hopefully identify if you're seeing someone else and try to help them get the help they need. And just, you know, be more so sensitive, supportive of it. And I would say to anyone in a position of leadership or institution that they need to put more safeguards in place, because too many times I think individuals are left on their own when the situation is much bigger than them. And I think in this, both of these cases, Naomi Osaka, Simone Biles, I think they were kind of like the face of the problem when the truth is the situation was bigger than them. So I think, you know, part of mental health is realizing that sometimes the system needs to be changed. And again, all of us just need to be aware of what we're looking at.
100% I agree.
Yeah, good. Same here, same here. So hopefully our listeners got a lot out of this episode, Mind Over Matter. On one side note, just to conclude the episode on a happy note, Simone Biles did perform at her last event, and she did medal. It already happened, so this is not a spoiler or anything like that. But kudos to her for showing the character to go out and perform even when she wasn't at her best and to still win a medal. So just a little up note that says, you know what, hopefully we can all overcome whatever challenges we have.
Yeah, that was well said, and kudos to her.
Definitely. So today's episode of Mind Over Matter, I'm Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rappers so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to, I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.